Recovery Radio, KMP3, 1000 holiday season, had an amazing Christmas Eve, an amazing Christmas, an amazing New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. There was a lot of AA involved, and a bunch of other things. I was very busy. It was a holiday break, but it was probably busier than I normally am, but it was all really fun stuff, and Christmas pageant, and saw a high school choir, and saw Star Wars, and a bunch of rituals and traditions. All of them beautiful. I won't get into all of them, but where I live, at the meeting hall that I call my home group, there's marathon meetings. So they have these meetings that go on. There's an hour meeting, and then there's a half-hour fellowship, and then there's an hour meeting, and there's a half-hour fellowship. And this goes on Christmas Eve all the way, nonstop, until late Christmas Day. They do the same thing on New Year's Eve. And I've been going to these meetings at this same meeting hall. It's changed locations a few times, but I've been going to these meetings at the same meeting hall throughout my entire sobriety. Whenever I've been in town, whenever I've lived here, or whenever I've visited here for the holidays. So they're a big deal to me. I love being there, feel very comfortable. All of them are so different from one another. They all have such a different vibe, and there's so much gratitude, and there's a lot of people struggling as well, and there's lots of opportunities to be helpful. And I'm just so grateful. I'm so grateful that I'm alive. I'm so grateful that I made it to 2020. Last year was, as you know, in October of last year, I had a mini stroke, and that was eye-opening. Feeling much better as the days go on. A friend of mine in the program, hysterical gentleman named Jim, he was telling me that he had one of these a long time ago, and we've been talking about it, because it's on your mind when this happens, pretty much nonstop. Hard to leave your psyche, but he said eventually you'll forget. You won't be freaking out over every little thing. And that's started to happen. I think one night last week I fell asleep and it didn't cross my mind. And that was the first time since it happened. So I'm making progress. And speaking is getting a lot easier now. And I'm grateful for that. I've seen the doctor a couple times since I was last on here. I've seen a neurologist, and I've seen a cardiologist, and everything's looking good. So I'm just grateful that I'm being dealt cards at all. I'm young. I'm a really young man. I'm a teenager. So it's very strange that this happened to me. I'm just kidding, I'm 48, but that's very young. Anyways, so I have been deep in gratitude. I've been walking around town like I'm in a Hallmark movie, both my hands and a cup of cocoa whenever possible. Coffee, holiday coffees. Planned to have pizza one time, a slice of pizza, New York style slice. Oh, it was amazing. Very memorable. Can't eat that every day anymore, but had it one time. It was great. Anyways, we're relatively caught up. I mean, I could talk about a bunch of this stuff, a bunch, but a lot of exciting things have happened since I was last on here. I will, before we get into the topic today, read an email I got with permission from its author. It says, "Thank you very much for producing the Sarcastic Big Book. I devoured it in one sitting, and now I'm sipping on it from time to time. I hope my sponsor enjoys it. I've given him a copy for Christmas. It is helping me to remember that there are quite a number of folk in my fellowship in London who are using what they call, quote, basically going to meetings, quote, and not to judge them. It reminds me that it's what we do between meetings that keeps us sober. When we don't do what's suggested on page 86 and 87, I pay for it in a reduced quality of life and lack of strength." He's referring to the book Alcoholics Anonymous there. And then he says, "The converse is also true. Love and fellowship. And best wishes for Christmas 2020. And I want to thank that person for that letter. And I just wanted to share that because it thrills me how many people understand the point of this book and are getting so much out of it. It's a very pro-AA parody that hopefully makes a person think, too. But to me, laughter is... It's just so important and so incredible. It elevates the spirit. And a lot of times it elevates the spirit more than serious conversation. So one can make an argument that it's actually more serious. Anyways, don't keep us started. But it just makes me very happy to hear. That people are getting it. And it's the opposite of judgment. It really does come from love. Not everyone understands that, but it really truly does. Anyways, today I thought I would talk about a little thing called practicing these principles in our respective homes. What does that look like? How do we do that? I have to start by saying that I've had a lot of experience doing this the wrong way. I have done the opposite of what I'm going to share. Used to do the opposite of this, and have, and am still capable of doing the opposite. But I just want to share with you my thoughts on the subject and how important it is in my own life and how passionate I am about it and how often I think about it. I actually have a meeting in town that meets once a month that in principle is on this subject of, well, it's a men's meeting. So it's related to the subject, but it's a men's meeting, and you know, in principle, a big part of it is how do you treat the person you're in a relationship with? How do you behave at home? the person you spend the most time with, how do you treat them? And I started this meeting years ago because when I was getting sober, when I had gotten sober, there was no meeting like that that talked about that, and it surprised me. It surprised me that many of the men's stags I would go to would be comprised of people who would complain. It's an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting for men, and what I needed to hear was not people who were complaining, but what I needed to hear was people who were taking responsibility of the fact that they chose the person they're with, and you know, these are the ways I'm trying to treat them better, and these are the ways I'm trying to grow. And it's such an important subject, and it's made a big difference in my life, just having a bunch of guys get together and aim higher, try harder to treat significant others with more respect. And hold the bar higher. A lot of times somebody will work and they'll work all day and they'll go home and they'll mentally or emotionally or spiritually or all of the above clock out when they get home. Clock out. Phone it in. Be done. And again, I'm guilty of it. I've done it. Used to do it a lot. I have behaved in a way, in this manner, that I'm not proud of. So, I'm aware of who I am and what I've done and the things I've done in my life, and just know that. As I talk about this, I'm not claiming anything except these are the things I think about now. And this is how it's been for a while for me. It's good. Now, this is how I think about it. I think if I'm in Alcoholics Anonymous and I'm practicing these principles and I'm trying to live the principles contained within the steps, then the person who benefits the most should be, in my case, my wife. I mean, I can't tell you how many men I've talked to who and women, but I've talked to a lot of men about this, who have this discussion and they have this epiphany that they're nicer to newcomers than they are to their wives. They're more patient with newcomers and people in AA and sponsees than they are with their girlfriends or boyfriends. So following that logic, what it's saying is, okay, the question I ask myself is, do I think it's God's will to A, select someone to be with, B, give them my worst, C, treat them worse and worse over time, D, talk shit about them when they're not around? I mean, to me, that sounds crazy when you spell it out, but that's... pretty normal. Unfortunately, it's pretty normal. It's crazy, but it's pretty normal in my experience with talking to people. And so we have this meeting once a month where it's like, okay, you want to go to a meeting that says those things, you know, complain and all that, that's fine. There's a lot of meetings you go to, but we have a meeting where it's like, dude, what are you doing? What kind of a partner are you? Why don't you clock in when you go home? What would that look like if you clocked in? If the rest of what we do is supposedly, to some of us, to a lot of us, for the sole purpose of having a home life, why aren't we taking amazing care of that? So what I try to do is clock in when I get home. Clock in. This is, now I'm at work. Now, how patient am I? How good of a listener am I now? How tolerant am I now? Friend of mine, first time we had this meeting, shared this epiphany he was having, which is that his fiance at the time, now his wife, watched TV shows that he hated. And he was very open with her about hating them. And he put him down and he mocked her for watching him. And he shared that suddenly this did not seem right to him at all. And it never even crossed his mind and he was going to change that. And he did. He changed it. Ended up watching programs with her. And minimally being not degrading and more supportive of the things that meant something to her. It changed his whole relationship. A lot of things like that. A lot of things like that happened and were shared and are shared, and it makes me feel good. It makes me want to try harder. It inspires me and elevates my soul. It makes me feel good. Like I can. We can. And that's why the beginning of the message in my life was so important. Understanding that I'm not, if I'm an asshole to my wife, it's not because I'm an alcoholic once I'm sober. It's because I'm an asshole. And not only can I change that, if I want to stay sober and be happy, I have to. I have to change that. I'm not stuck with that. And as a result of applying these principles, I can see that I've gotten better and better at this over the years. Because, not because of what I think, but because of what is reflected back at me. The person I'm with feels safe, understood, heard, cared about, important. Years ago, I failed at this. Big time. Many times. And sometimes in ways that are catastrophic. I have to say that again. I have to throw that out there again. Claiming nothing except some progress here. And I really think it's important for myself that I continue to grow in this manner. Otherwise, what is the point of the prayer and the meditation and trying to be, you know, grow spiritually? The point, according to the book Alcoholics Anonymous, is that we fit ourselves to be of maximum service and helpfulness to God and the people about us. And if that's the point, and above everything else, I have to get rid of my selfishness, and God can remove that self-will that has blocked me from him. Those are all the things that the book says. If all those things are true, then let's do this. Let's see, can someone really lose interest in selfish things? Can self-seeking slip away? Or is that just poetry on a wall? Let's do this. What would it look like if I clocked in when I got home? How often do I tell my wife she's beautiful? Write her notes? Listen to her? support things that she likes that I'm not attracted to? Do I do that? How often? What can I improve? I've had hundreds of conversations with men where they'll say, you know, I'm worried about this and I'm worried about that, and, you know, this concerns me, and when she does this, you know, blah, blah, and I'll stop them and I'll say the same question. I'll say, have you told her? And so many times the answer is no. And I'm certainly not in a position to tell anyone what they need to do in their relationship. But what has helped me and changed my life slowly over time in a big way is transparency. There's a way to express everything in a way that's not hurtful or harmful. You just have to try hard sometimes to find that. One thing that's made a big difference in my life is if I'm hurt or afraid, and therefore, more often than not, that is expressing itself as anger, I will really calmly say, what I'm about to say is an effort to be closer to you. I'm saying this because I'm reaching for you. I'm reaching out. I want to be closer. I'm not saying this to push you away. My objective is to grow closer. And that's a very different way to start a conversation than, you know what, you got to, you know, listen up. I'm so mad at you right now. And I've done that too. Doesn't go as well. But I just feel like I try to greet fear with love. And so does my wife. Try to greet fear with love. What does that mean? Means somebody's mad, I know they're afraid or hurt. I know it. I know it because I've done 1,000 inventories and that's what it is. And I've heard 1,000 inventories and that's what it is. So when someone's mad, I know they're hurt or afraid. I know it. So I can greet that fear with more fear by being hurt and afraid myself. What are you talking about? Blah, blah, blah. But that exacerbates it and makes everything worse. So I try to greet fear with love. Okay, let me understand what you're saying. Let me listen. And if you're listening to this and you're thinking, yeah, but that's hard to do. Yeah, no shit, that's hard to do. No shit. That's why there's so few happy relationships, because it's not easy. But I always ask myself, what's the point of my relationship? Why am I in a relationship? It's a question I started asking myself about 9 years ago. What is the point? To get my jollies? To feed my ego? Used to be. Security blanket? All the above? Am I in this relationship because I'm afraid of being alone? I'm just using this person now? So about 9-10 years ago, I started saying, "What is the point, really?" And for myself, it's to grow closer to the other person and to God, to be helped by them, and to help them become more compassionate, vulnerable, loving, patient. Point. To me, that's the point. Everybody can come up with their own thing. But looking at my relationship through that lens dramatically changes how I have treated it. And as a result, I have a really peaceful home. Because we communicate. And so for me, this is the application of these principles. The opposite of this for me would be to make my wife's life harder, painful, confusing, make her feel unsafe, make her afraid to talk to me. Anyone thinks it's God's will that their wife is afraid to talk to them? I don't know. I don't claim to know. I don't know shit. I know that I'm happy. I know that I have a lot of peace. I know that I have a lot of serenity. I know that I have a long way to go. I know that I could throw all this away in 10 minutes. I know that it's all God. But I guess there's some really simple concepts in there, hopefully, that maybe will be helpful to, you know, everyone. I don't know. It's a conversation that just doesn't happen very much. Usually when men are huddled around, or I don't know what it's like when the women are huddled around, but usually when the men are huddled around there and they're talking about the opposite sex, or, you know, they're people they're interested in, it's usually not this kind of thing. They're usually not saying, how can we be better men? And it should be, I think. Helps me a lot, and it's helped a lot of my friends a lot. And how do we know? Because our wives and girlfriends have told us. That's how we know. Anyways, all this could be true for women too. I don't know. This is my experience. I'm not a woman. I don't know if you knew that. I'm actually a male. All right, and I'm not very funny today. I haven't been that funny since the holidays. I've been too serious about how much fun I'm having. Yeah, that's probably a sign now that I should be done. Because now I don't even know what I'm saying. I'm looking at the sky and I'm thinking, what am I saying? I'm probably all set now to say, with that, I'm out of here. You can write to me at sarcasticbigbook@gmail.com. You can follow us on Instagram, sarcastic.aa.book. And, I'll be back soon, and one of the things I really want to do this year is put out a couple of episodes every week. I've threatened it in the past, but I didn't follow through. But that was 2019. I'm changing my ways. Am I? We'll see. I hope so. No, I'm going to do it. And I really appreciate all the support. I really love the letters, and it means a lot to me. And thank you so much for listening. And I am now going to go try to live a life that was worth saving.